The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Our reading this morning is from the book of Luke, and it's in two parts, verses 1 to 12, then verses 44 through 49, beginning with 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering what had happened. And verses 44 to 49. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning and happy Easter. If you've got children and if you want some activities for them, there are colourings that are available on the table just as you came in the door. And so feel free to duck out and grab those and bring them back in and use those during the service. When we think about our own lives, there's always a backstory. There's always a backstory to the events from earlier in your life. And your life today is a result of that backstory and of your parents and grandparents and previous generations. All of those things come together to determine so much about who you are and your circumstances today. In the same way, there's a backstory to the events of Easter. And over the last couple of services, Palm Sunday and Good Friday and again today, we're going to look at backstories that lead into the story of Easter. You know, on Palm Sunday, we looked at the backstory to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And we discovered that he'd raised a man called Lazarus from the dead. And as a result of that, there had been incredible celebrations. There had been a dinner to honour Jesus for what he had done. There was a crowd of witnesses and others who'd been there. They'd seen it. Others had heard the story. And they formed the nucleus of those that then became the crowd that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday. And then, once he was in Jerusalem, Jesus made his way to the temple where he purged it of corrupt dealers so that he could come in and he would then start to teach and he would start to heal in the temple. That's the backstory to Good Friday, to Palm Sunday. When we look at Good Friday, we need to consider the events that were happening between Palm Sunday and Good Friday, because there's a backstory in there. See, Jesus had gone into the temple, and as I said, he'd purged it. He then went in to start to teach and to heal. His teaching stirred up a lot of emotions in the religious leaders. Let's just say they clashed. And ultimately, the religious leaders thought they'd won because they'd managed to get Pontius Pilate to condemn Jesus to death, to have him crucified. But as Jesus hung on the cross, it got dark. And the temple curtain was torn from top down to bottom, showing the judgment of God against sin and against the religious leaders. Jesus was the once and for all time sacrifice who would die for the sin of the world, that those who had put their faith in him would have a way to come into relationship with God the Father. The tearing of the curtain was showing that we are able to come into the presence of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Today, as we come to Resurrection Sunday, to Easter Sunday, again, there's a backstory. But it wasn't something that had just happened in a few days or a week leading into, as it had with Palm Sunday or with Good Friday. It wasn't an acute or short-term story. It went right back to the Garden of Eden. It was a story that God added to through the scriptures of the Old Testament to culminate in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we miss the backstory. We forget the backstory because we're so focused on the task in front of us. Now, I know I have that problem. I can be outside doing something. It could be anything, really. And I become so focused on that task that the children might be saying something to me and I don't even hear it. Someone might call me to lunch and I miss it. Now, some of you are struggling to believe that. Sometimes I'm so busy thinking about the thing that I'm doing that I don't get to think about the other things that I should be thinking about and therefore not doing the things that I should be doing. You see, our focus on the tasks in the short term can sometimes prevent us from hearing or remembering the bigger picture. Now, when I say our, often this is a problem for blokes, right? You know, the task focused, I'm in the zone. But not always. Because on Easter Sunday morning, it was the women who were so focused on the task. So let's go back to Good Friday. On Good Friday, we saw that Jesus had been crucified. He had died. And then Joseph of Arimathea came. And he took Jesus down. He wrapped him in a linen cloth, placed his body in a tomb, cutting the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who'd come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. So we see that the women have followed this sad little procession from Calvary to the tomb. And it says that they saw how his body was laid in it. Now, that's actually code for men. Thanks for trying to do this, but we'll come back later and do it properly. And so with that, the women went home. They prepared the spices and the perfumes to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, Jewish law said that you were not allowed to work on the Sabbath, but it made an exception that you were allowed to prepare spices and perfumes to anoint a dead body because a body would decompose rapidly and so they were allowed to prepare them on the Sabbath to be used as soon as the Sabbath came to an end. And so we see that these women had made their burial balms and then they waited faithfully until the Sabbath had finished. And as soon as it had, with sun up on Sunday morning, they got up ready to return to anoint the body. And so we read from Luke 24:1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they prepared and went to the tomb. They hadn't wasted any time. They got up at the crack of dawn. They gathered their burial spices. They took them with them and they set off for the tomb, wondering who might be there to roll away the stone. But they arrived and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The women came to the tomb expecting to find a dead body. They prepared spices and perfumes ready to anoint a dead body. That was the task they had before them. They came with an expectation that they would find a dead body. I wonder if anybody has come here today expecting just to come to church, because that's what you do on Easter Sunday. Perhaps you came because tradition says that's what's expected of you. Perhaps you came because mum or dad or girlfriend or boyfriend said it would be a good thing to come. Maybe you've come not expecting anything more than a church service. You've come with a preconceived expectation of what this is going to be like. But what if that changed? And you encountered Christ for yourself, the reality of Jesus Christ and who he really is. Well, let's come back to that a little later. We come back to the women. The women were so focused on their task of preparing the spices and the perfumes ready to anoint the body that they hadn't remembered what Jesus had previously told them. They didn't remember until the angels reminded them. Because we read from verse 4, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?" And so now in inverted commas we read the words of Jesus. "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Close inverted commas. And so the angels reminded the women of this, and it says, then they remembered his words. And suddenly all thought of anointing the body was gone. They're frightened by the appearance of these two angels, but when the angel said to them, "Remember how he told you," can you hear them saying, "Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did say that, didn't he? Yeah, I remember that now. How could I have forgotten?" But it is easy to forget when you're on task. They remembered his words, and it changed their lives forever. And so they turned and they hurried back to the disciples. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So the women came back. They shared the good news of an empty tomb. They shared of their encounter with the angels. And then they talked about remembering what Jesus had previously told them. But they, that is the disciples, did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Now it's interesting because the disciples had also heard the words of Jesus when he told them that he would be crucified and 3 days later would rise again. But for them, it wasn't the task of preparing the perfumes and spices that prevented them from remembering. It was something different. It was fear. We read in John's Gospel, John chapter 20, it says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders." You see, just a few days earlier, they had been in the temple. They had heard Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They'd seen the clashes. They'd seen the arguments that had taken place. And they thought, well, if the religious leaders have been able to crucify Jesus because of that, then they'll be after us next. And so they were in fear of the Jewish leaders, paralyzing fear that prevented them from hearing the good news of Jesus. It says that it seemed to them like nonsense. I wonder if anyone has come here today who will hear the good news of Easter, but maybe because of fear of how others may react, you'd rather palm it off as nonsense. You might think, sure, I've heard about Jesus, but if I believe in him, well, what will my friends say? What will those at work say? So I'm better off not believing. But what if today you encounter Jesus Christ and who he really is? Well, let's come back to that later. See, most of the disciples heard, they feared, and decided it was nonsense. But Luke tells us that Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. See, it's interesting. Peter was in the room with all the other disciples. He'd heard the same things that all the other disciples heard, but he was willing to discover the truth for himself. He was willing to leave the other 10 in their doubt and confusion, and he ran to the tomb. He wanted to know for himself if this was true. Now, when he got there, he mightn't have found all the answers, but he was open-minded enough to wonder to himself what had happened and what it might mean. I wonder if anyone has come here today who will hear the good news of Easter and choose to explore it for themselves. To be willing to take the steps to go where you haven't been before. And maybe, like Peter, you mightn't find all the answers straight away. But are you willing to explore them? Because what if you encounter the reality of Jesus Christ and who he really is? Well, let's come back to that later. Because you see, later that day, Jesus appeared to the disciples. And it says, at first, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. But then we read, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Are we prepared to use that as a prayer? Jesus, please open our minds to understand the scriptures and come to know you. Now, earlier I was saying that we'll come back to that later. Well, it's now time to come back. So, whether you've come with preconceived expectations that you won't encounter a living Jesus Christ, or whether you've come with a fear of how other people might respond if you were to believe that Jesus Christ is alive, or whether you have come willing to explore the reality of a living Jesus Christ, are you willing to pray this prayer? Jesus, please open our minds to understand the scriptures and come to know you. So as we look back through the events of Resurrection Sunday, we see the importance of the scriptures being reinforced again and again. When the women were at the tomb and the angel was speaking to them, the angel said, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. And then in inverted commas, these words of Jesus, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. These are the words of Jesus that they could then remember. Or, in the case of Jesus, straight after this passage in Luke, where we see that Peter's gone to the tomb to check it out for himself, then Jesus appears to two men who are walking on the road to Emmaus. And in that conversation, Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And then later that evening, Jesus met with the disciples. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Three times on Easter Sunday, we see that Jesus is reminding them of what was written or what he had already told them. And so when Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 15, he wrote this: "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that is Peter, "and then to the 12. All that happened to Jesus was not unexpected. It was not a random series of reactions. It was all foretold in Scripture. From the beginning in the Garden of Eden to the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection. See, when God created the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve walked in the presence of God, where they talked with God, it was a place of God's shalom peace, a place where life was flourishing. But then sin entered into creation. It broke the relationship between God and humanity. It brought death into creation. But God put a plan in place for the restoration of creation. And that plan involved his Son, Jesus Christ, coming to earth to live a life that would reveal the love of God for his creation. To live a life without sin. And to give up his life as a sacrifice for sin. So that the power of sin in creation would be broken. And having been crucified and having died, Jesus would be buried. And then on the third day would rise again in triumph over sin and death. All of that was foretold in Scripture. And it all happened exactly as Scripture said it would. Now, there were many different aspects of this that we could look at, but today I want to look at just one aspect that we have considered already on Palm Sunday and on Good Friday, and then builds further today. We saw that on Palm Sunday, Jesus went into the temple and he purged it of the corruption and of the evil that was taking place there. We saw that on Good Friday, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. When we look back into Scripture, we see the prophet Ezekiel was talking about Jesus as a descendant of King David when he wrote, "My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. I'll put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, made Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever." This new temple that Ezekiel is referring to is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, a descendant of King David. It would be a temple that would be available to all nations. And so we see that when John writes about Jesus as the Messiah in John chapter 1, he writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Do you note that that's paralleling what Ezekiel had written hundreds of years earlier? "My dwelling place will be with them. My sanctuary is among them forever." The word "dwelling" in John's gospel in this place actually means the word "tabernacle." My dwelling place will be with them. My tabernacle, my temple, Jesus will be with them. Jesus is the tabernacle or the temple, the place of meeting of God and earth. He was among us in our midst. And so right at the start of Jesus' ministry, in John chapter 2, the religious leaders ask him about the temple. And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple. And you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Jesus knew from the beginning of his ministry that he was the temple that would be torn down and raised again in 3 days. And during his ministry, Jesus began to take over the functions of the old temple. So you see, the temple had been the place where people would come and they would offer a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus, in his ministry, would say to someone, "You are forgiven." He started to take over functions of the temple. And Jesus is saying here that after 3 days in the tomb, when he rose from the dead, he is the new temple that Ezekiel had spoken about. He is the basis from which all nations, Jew and Gentile, can come into relationship with God the Father. As we saw on Good Friday in Matthew 27, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This was showing us that with his death, he was destroying the old physical temple. He was tearing the curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. He was demonstrating that he was making a way for people to come into the presence of God. It was no longer just the high priest on just one day of the year who could go into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, but now all people who put their faith in Jesus Christ could come into God's presence to be at one with him. It was no longer about religious rituals. It was about loving relationships that mattered. It was no longer about having to go to the temple, but about Jesus alive in every one of his followers. With his resurrection, he was the new temple. Through this new temple, God's presence would be on earth among the people who put their faith in him. And so whether it was the women going to the tomb, not expecting to see Jesus alive, whether it was two men on the road to Emmaus confused about all that had happened, or whether it was the disciples hiding in fear, what took place was exactly what Jesus had described from Scripture. And so are we willing to pray that prayer? Jesus, please open our minds to understand the Scriptures and come to know you. And if you pray that prayer, Jesus will meet you wherever you are. And he will help you to truly know him and love him. And he welcomes you into relationship with God the Father. And all of that is possible because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's take a minute just to reflect on that. To reflect on it, these two questions may prompt you to just simply say, "God, what did you say to me today? What are you wanting to say? As I pray that prayer, Jesus, open my mind. What is it you want to say to me?" And as you hear that, ask the question, then what do I do with what I've heard? How do you want me to respond to that? Today we celebrate the resurrection. and it is a celebration. He who is thought to be dead is alive. Those who went expecting to find a dead body were surprised and delighted to discover Jesus was alive. Those who lived in fear discovered that Jesus was alive. Those who went looking discovered that Jesus was alive. Jesus, we pray that we would also walk in that discovery of the vibrant life that is available to us because you are alive. We pray, Heavenly Father God, with thanks that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who would die on the cross for us, who would be buried, but that was not the end of the story. But Jesus, risen, victorious over sin and death, that we can come and we can confess our sins. We receive forgiveness of sins. We receive new life in Christ that changes our life here on earth and for all of eternity. Lord God, we pray that we would live every day in that place of knowing Christ is risen. Christ is real in us who put our faith in him. We pray, Father God, for those who have not yet made that decision, that, Lord, they would choose to come to, like Peter, go and say, I want to explore this for myself. That they, in praying that prayer, Jesus, open my mind, that, Lord, they would encounter you and it would change their lives. And that, Father God, for each and every one who already knows you, who already loves you, that, Lord, we would know you more and we would love you more because of what you have done for us. Lord, we give you thanks and praise this Easter Sunday. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 1144. Or you can email us office@rangeville.com.